Then we will go ahead and get started. The
I know
time
I have
is.
to assign a resource and not
We do
change
need
it.
everybody to mute themselves. Thank you. All right, the time is 8:33 a.m. on October 7th, 2022, and I call the meeting of the Arizona Board of Psychologist Examiners to order. The meeting is video hosted using Zoom. The public and parties on the agenda have been properly noticed of this fact and have been supplied with meeting access instructions. Ms. Poe, would you please call roll?
Yes, Madam Chair. Dr. Davis Wilson?
Present.
Dr. Davey?
Present.
Dr. Catarino? Mr. Dinar? Dr. Medina?
Present.
Dr. Meyer?
Present.
Dr. Malott?
Present.
Ms. Shreve? Dr. Stewart?
Present.
Mr. Wynn?
Present.
We have a quorum.
Down there, here.
Thank you. Please note that the times stated on the agenda are approximate. The board makes every effort to begin proceedings at the scheduled time. The board may suspend the discussion of one agenda item, proceed to a timed item, and then return to the former agenda item at a later time. The board may also reorder non-timed items. The board encourages everyone in attendance today to provide feedback by completing the board assessment form. You'll find the link on the meeting agenda that is posted on the board's website. I do want to take a moment to recognize all the board members for your hard work. I know every board member spends several hours preparing for the meetings, reviewing all of the documents, corresponding with board staff to ensure that they have all of the necessary information for being prepared for these meetings. We really do appreciate that time and effort. We know that it takes quite a bit. I would also like to take a moment to acknowledge the efforts of our board staff, as well as our attorney. And today we also have Mark Harris joining us. So thank you, Mark Harris, for being available for us while Ms. Galvin has needed to step away.
My pleasure. Well, morning.
Good morning. I feel like it's been a little while. We're happy to have you. All right. Attendance of this board meeting is eligible for continuing education credit if it is at least 4 hours long. Should its duration be 4 hours or more, make note of the code words provided throughout the meeting. To report the code words to board staff for the purposes of earning continuing education credit, look for the link on the board meetings page for this particular meeting. It is possible that today's meeting will not go to 4 hours in duration. And if not, then unfortunately it won't count for CEs, but we do appreciate you joining and we do appreciate your understanding. We're very excited to now take a moment to announce that we have recently filled a vacant psychologist position. Dr. Diana Medina was appointed. We'd like to extend a very warm welcome to her and invite her to share an introduction with the board, staff, and members of the public in attendance. Dr. Medina, will you please introduce yourself?
Thank you very much. I am Dr. Diana Medina. I'm a licensed psychologist. I am the chief of clinical education at Copa Health, and I received my doctoral degree a few years ago from Arizona State University and have actively worked in training future psychologists and also in working with patients. So I'm very excited to be here. Thank you.
Fantastic and welcome. Does anybody have any questions for Dr. Medina?
We just want to welcome her. It's great to have you on this board, Dr. Medina, and the fact that you are directly in training as well as practice, that would be a wonderful addition to our board. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
I agree. Dr. Stewart.
Dr. Medina, it's nice meeting you at the conference this past week. And I'm just happy not to be the newest kid on the block.
Likewise, I am honored to take that title from you until someone else joins.
We all have to pay the dues.
Yeah, indeed.
Dr. Davey and I got lucky. We got to be the new kids together. So
yeah.
We had a part, we had partners in crime, but I would just say, welcome, Dr. Medina. It's great to have psychologists join this group, as Dr. Mulott alluded, particularly one that's close to training and practice. It's just a pleasure to have you on and looking forward to your participation in these matters.
Great. Thank you so much.
Welcome. I'm excited to get to know you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Medina, for joining us today. And I think you joined part of last meeting as well and listening
in. Yes, I did.
Thank you for doing so. And we are excited to have you.
Thank you.
All right. And we very kindly made a very nice agenda for you today.
I really appreciate that.
All right. Those wishing to address the board, we're going to do a call to the public. Those wishing to address the board do not need to request permission in advance. However, the board will limit the number of persons speaking during this time to a reasonable number on any public comment matter. In addition, each person wishing to address the board will be given 3 minutes to do so. Pursuant to ARS 38-431.02H, the board can only take action on matters listed on the agenda. The board members may not discuss the matter with each other or with members of the public addressing the board. The only option available is to instruct staff to place the topic on a future agenda if applicable. If you wish to speak, please unmute your line, state your name, and I will call on you. Hearing none, we will move to the council update. Ms. Pacanon, do you want to come back to that one, or is Mr. Harris able to provide the update?
Madam Chair, I think we can circle back to this once Ms. Galvin has joined the meeting. We can, however, following the consent agenda, I was going to prompt you for item, I think,
13, I believe.
13, right. Thank you. Thank you. And I think we might have a recusal for a consent agenda item.
Okay. But we have 7, right? So if we have a recusal, we're good. All right. Then we will move to the consent agenda. For the record, are there any recusals?
I will recuse myself from Dr. Lo Dickey, application number H to change his license status. So.
Okay. Any additional recusals? Dr. Stewart?
Yes, Madam Chair. I'd like to recuse myself from item G on discussion.
Okay. And I am recused from behavior analyst applicant number 20, Danielle Argenbright. Any additional recusals? A board member may request to remove an item from the consent agenda for independent discussion.
You froze.
Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the items on the consent agenda?
So moved.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, Dr. Medina. Any opposed? The motion carries. We will take a moment now to move to agenda item number 13. And that is going to be, let me get to my notes. Dr. Meyer, would you please provide a summary of Dr. Franklin's application?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Dr. Franklin was previously on, had a written training plan for his postdoctoral supervision. That plan changed, and a new plan was not submitted until a year later. We discussed this at the July board, and He was issued a non-disciplinary letter of concern. And there were some, the plan was not signed, or no, it was signed but not dated. Subsequently, we did receive a plan that was signed and documentation from his supervisor. And then records of his supervision. And I think the right. And so all of the forms look like they were in good order, and I didn't see any additional concerns at this time.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions for Dr. Meyer? Hearing none, we do have Dr. Franklin on with us. Dr. Franklin, is there anything that you would like to state?
Yes, ma'am. I am contrite, and I apologize for not turning in the required paperwork sooner. I realize that that's not the way a psychology career should go. And so I apologize to the board for this slip up, and I will say it won't happen again. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I would make a motion accept the current training plan.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, please indicate so by or any. No, yeah. All in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion carries. I did skip the discussion. See, it's too early in the morning for this.
Madam Chair, committee board members, there is also a retake request that needs approval for Dr. Franklin.
Oh, thank you. Dr. Meyer.
Sorry. Yes. But it was just
right. It was part of the package.
We didn't need a plan. So it's right. It's just to reapprove to sit after a failed exam. Sorry. So yes, we would. I would.
Maybe you can modify your motion.
I would modify my motion to include that it he be approved to sit for the ECCC.
And I'll accept the modification. Mm-hmm. So the second.
All right.
I think I beat Dr. Stewart on the second. So,
Mr. Harris.
That's fine.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All in favor of the modified motion, say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion carries. And thank you, Dr. Franklin, for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for taking my case early. I appreciate you very much.
Absolutely. Ms. Packnon, just to double check the script.
We can move to the timed item number 7 because it is now 8:46.
Okay, that's what I was going to check because the script has the timed items at 9:15. So I just
want to make your pardon. Yes, so no, we're good for 8:45.
I was just toggling over to the agenda. Perfect. All right, then we will go ahead and move to timed items. The time is now 8:47, and we are moving to the first section of the timed items on this agenda scheduled for review on or after 8:45. The board may vote to go into executive session on any item on the agenda pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A2 to review confidential records, including the receipt and discussion of information or testimony that is confidential by state or federal law, and or ARS 38-431.03A3 to receive confidential legal advice from the board's attorney. Agenda item number 7, is related to Dr. Stephanie Skinner. Ms. Michelson, would you please provide a summary of this matter to the board?
Yes, Madam Chair. I do want to note that my summary and public session will be brief, as much of the information for this case involves protected health information and is confidential. Dr. Skinner was issued her psychologist license by the board in 2017. The board recently received a complaint, which is included in your file, alleging that Dr. Skinner may have a health condition that could potentially place the public or patients at risk. Upon receiving this information, staff met virtually with Dr. Skinner to obtain additional information. She was offered an interim consent agreement and order for evaluation and practice restriction, which would require Dr. Skinner to undergo a fitness for duty evaluation, and she would be prohibited from practicing under her psychologist license in Arizona until such time the board reviewed the results of the evaluation and issued a final order. Dr. Skinner subsequently retained legal representation with Mr. Flynn Carey. We did receive the signed ICA last week, which is before the board for approval today. If the ICA is approved by the board, this matter would return for review at a future scheduled meeting once the evaluation report has been received by staff. Dr. Skinner would not be permitted to see Arizona clients in the interim. I was noted by her attorney, Mr. Carey, that she has scheduled her evaluation with one of the pre-approved providers on the list for October 21st. And I just want to make a note that if the board wishes to discuss any confidential information for this case or has any questions for me or Dr. Skinner regarding her treatment, that would need to take place in executive session. This concludes my summary. Please let me know if there are any questions. My understanding is that Dr. Skinner is present today with the attorney's associate, Mr. Andrew Brevington. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Brevington, would you like to introduce yourself, and then Dr. Skinner can introduce herself?
Yes. Good morning, Madam Chair, board members, board staff. Good morning. My name is Andrew Brevington. I am counsel for Dr. Skinner, and she should be on the Zoom meeting.
Thank you. Dr. Skinner, if you could please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Skinner, and thank you for having me today. I don't know what I'm supposed to say.
the introduction for the record is perfect.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I'm sorry, if I may, as this is an interim order and the deadline has not yet run for Dr. Skinner to submit a written response to the allegations in the complaint, we ask the board to reserve any factual questions about those allegations until after that time, because she has not yet had a meaningful opportunity to respond. So there'll be due process issues if she is asked to address the factual allegations at this point. She's happy to address any logistical questions the board may have about the suspension.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions for Dr. Skinner or her attorney? And again, if you do, the likelihood of executive session is quite high. So if we do, we will need a motion to go into executive session. Hearing none, do we have any discussion? Or does anybody have a motion?
I would make a motion to accept the interim agreement.
Okay. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? Hearing none. We do need a roll call vote. Ms. Poe, will you please call roll?
Yes, Madam Chair. Dr. Davis Wilson?
Yes.
Dr. Davey?
Yes.
Dr. Medina?
Yes.
Dr. Meyer?
Yes.
Dr. Malott?
Yes.
Dr. Stewart?
Yes.
Mr. Nguyen?
Yes.
Vote is unanimous. Motion carries.
Thank you. Mr. Brevington, Dr. Skinner, we will be in touch with the future steps. We do appreciate you guys quickly responding to the board, meeting with the board, and working through this with us. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Thank
you very much.
All right. We will now move to agenda item number 8. This is going to be a complaint number 2238 involving behavior analyst Emily Orne. Dr. Davey, you are the assigned lead. Could you please provide a summary of this case to the board, as well as a recommendation of the Committee on Behavior Analysis?
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you so much. Ms. Orne was issued her license as behavior analyst back in 2020. She currently serves as a clinical supervisor at the Southwest Autism Research and Resource Center in Phoenix. Complaint LS was an employee of the Southwest Autism Research Resource Center, which I'll refer to as SARC moving forward. She was employed there as a behavior therapist from May 2021 through June 2022. And during a period of that time, she was supervised by Ms. Orne, our licensee. Pertinent facts around this are that the complaint was put on a performance improvement plan. Both the employer and the licensee were able to provide information as it related to that plan, along with other information that was included in the employment file, including feedback around the individual's ability to take feedback on being able to work with children affected by developmental disabilities. LS sent communications to the licensee, Ms. Orne, about the complaint that was to be filed, and included a statement to which she wanted to actually retract her complaint at one point. That was on July 5th, following the complaint being filed. Ms. Orne responded to the complaint that she does not believe any of her actions were unprofessional, and nor did she fail to provide any sort of safe or learning environment for LS, and that LS was treated with respect throughout the performance improvement plan. Furthermore, she states that all of her professional activities were in line with the current ethics code, as well as just general boundaries as a professional. Upon review and hearing from the licensee, the Committee on Behavior Analysts moved that this be dismissed, and I am bringing that to you today as the full board of psychologists to be able to make that motion that this complaint be dismissed.
Thank you, Dr. Davey. Are there any questions for Dr. Davey? Hearing none. LS, are you present? If so, please unmute yourself. Does not appear that LS is present. So we will hear from Ms. Orne. Ms. Orne, has your attorney been able to join?
Today.
I'm not seeing her. Okay. Are you, and you're comfortable moving forward?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. So Ms. Orne, if you could please introduce yourself, and if you would like to make a brief statement, you may do so now.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Emily Orne. I have nothing else to add at this time, but I am available for any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Orne. Do we have any questions for Ms. Orne? All right, hearing none, do we have a motion?
I'll go ahead and remake the motion that this matter be dismissed.
We have a motion for dismissal. Do we have a second? I'll second. Oh, perfect. We got a bunch of seconds. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion carries. Ms. Orne, thank you very much for being here and being available today. We will now move to agenda item number 9. This matter concerns a criminal charge self-reported by Joel Mattiello, a licensed behavior analyst. Dr. Davey, as the assigned lead, would you please provide a brief summary on this case and the recommendation from the Committee on Behavior Analysts?
Yes, the licensee self-reported. Oh, did I mute myself? No, I'm sure I didn't mute myself. The licensee self-reported a driving under the influence citation that was issued in Colorado. Individual came forward to the Committee on Behavior Analysts discussed the matter, provided us information as it related to that, provided us with information as it relates to his behavior and his ability to be able to practice safely within the community. The board did, or the committee did, ask that there are still a few pending, I believe, some community service hours or something that needs to be completed here in the next couple of months as it relates to this DUI. He was in line to be able to complete all of the things that the state had asked of him up to this particular point. We asked that he continue to keep the board staff updated on his progress as he worked through those that process. After hearing the information, the board or the committee is recommending that this move to the board for dismissal, or actually to take no action.
Thank you. We do have Mr. Matela here today. Would you like to unmute yourself, introduce yourself, and if you would like to make a brief statement, you can do so at this time.
Hi, I am Joel Matier, behavior analyst, and I just want to say that the incident that occurred on July 20th is irresponsible, embarrassing, and inexcusable. I am taking the steps to correct myself. I've also started completing some community service hours, as well as participation in Mothers Against Drunk Driving, and I've paid all my court fees. I do not believe that this incident affects my career or the services that I provide, the services I provide for children and families affected by autism. And if you have any other questions, just please ask. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Dr. Malott.
Dr. Malott.
Yeah, I just want to, I wanted to really thank Mr. Matea for reporting this to the board within 5 days of the charge. This is something that is required by our statutes. And since we have a lot of students on the line, I wanted to reiterate that point, that if you are charged, not convicted, just charged, you have to make a report to the board as a licensee of this board. And so many people forget to do that. They wait for their conviction date. Even sometimes they get bad advice from attorneys and things, and they haven't, and we have to hold them in violation of our statutes. So, Mr. Matea, thank you for being aware of all our statutes and making the report in such a timely manner. And it's just, it's actually a very rare occurrence, and we've had to find many sanctioned people, not because of the DUI, but because of the failure to report within 10 days. So thank you. And I just wanted to emphasize that point for the rest of the people in attendance, licensees and students. So.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Malott. All right. Do we have any further questions? Any discussion? Do we have a motion?
So moved to take no action.
Second, maybe I'll say, yeah,
good. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion carries. Thank you so much for being here today. And I do echo what Dr. Malott has said, that the reporting requirements tend to be what gets people, and the fact that you very quickly, the incident was out of state, there was probably a lot of other things going on, and the fact that you put that as a priority is very much appreciative and a good reflection of your professionalism. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
All right, we will now move. Oh, moved my notes around. Give me 1 second. All right, we will move to agenda item number 10. Ms. Michelson, can you please provide a summary of the board, a summary of this matter to the board?
Yes, Madam Chair, this is for Dr. Garcia's matter. In June of 2022, Dr. Garcia entered into a consent agreement and order with the board for a complaint which specified the following terms: meet with a pre-approved forensic psychologist who will provide professional guidance in various areas for a total of 4 clock hours. The consultant will submit a report to the board summarizing what was discussed and their overall impressions. Additionally, she shall complete 6 hours of continuing education in the areas of psychological assessment and diagnosis and that shall be completed within 60 days of the effective date and cannot be used for future renewal applications. Additionally, probation for a minimum of 3 months, but Dr. Garcia can petition the board to be released after 3 months upon completion of the continuing education and clinical consultation. Dr. Garcia met with forensic psychologist Sarah Gallimore for 3 consultation sessions occurring between July through August of 2022 for a total of 4 hours. In Dr. Gallimore's 2-page report to the board dated August 24th of 2022, she indicates in part that based on the limited information she was provided and her limited scope of forensic consultation, she did not have any areas of remaining concern regarding Dr. Garcia's practice. She also indicated that she did not have any concerns that would prevent Dr. Garcia from being discharged from her probationary status. Additionally, in July of 2022, board staff received 4 certificates of completion from Dr. Garcia, equaling 6 hours in the areas of diagnostic development and clinical implications of trauma and stress disorders, substance use, and other addictive disorders, as well as depressive disorders. On August 24th, Dr. Garcia submitted a request that the board terminate her probation, which is before the board for review and consideration today. My summary, please let me know if there are any questions. I do see that we have Dr. Garcia present here.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions for Ms. Michelson? Hearing none, Dr. Garcia, if you would please unmute yourself and introduce yourself for the record. Now would be a good time to provide a statement if you would like.
Yes, I'm Alicia Garcia, I just kind of summarizing what my letter for termination of probation, just that I realized the error I made in making a recommendation during a family custody case. And it was very valuable to have set and had time with the forensic psychologist and also the continuing education aspect of this consent agreement. And so at this time, I feel like it's been a learning growth experience for me. And I appreciate all the time and energy that was put into this. And thank you for allowing me to present today.
Hi, Dr. Davis Wilson. This is Sarah Stark. I'm counsel for Dr. Garcia. I did not have anything else to say. I just wanted to note for the record that I'm here. I was going to just turn it over to her anyway, but I just wanted to let y'all know I was here. So.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Stark. I actually didn't see you. I apologize. When we have this many people on Zoom, sometimes I have to go between two screens. So thank you for the introduction.
No worries.
I again apologize. Do we have any questions for Dr. Garcia or her legal counsel, Ms. Stark? Hearing none, do we have any discussion?
Madam Chair, I would just like to hear from Dr. Garcia with regard to the clinical consultation part that went on. I mean, with regard to your interactions with the forensic psychologist, like what were the takeaway points that you had with regard to those consultations?
Because I had never worked in the forensic area, it was very informative listening to Dr. Gallimore and her training and education regarding subpoenas and informed consent and the boundaries with which forensic psychologists work with when making recommendations. It was all very valuable information that I took very seriously, and it was informative, and she did an excellent job of walking me through all that is part of her training and education.
And what is your plan with regard to continuing in the forensic psychology practice in that realm?
I have never done forensic work. I didn't know I was, that was my mistake and error by not seeking consultation to find out that I was kind of overstepping my recommendation for my 10-year client. And making that recommendation. So no, I clearly have put in all my paperwork and also screen clients right at the beginning and inform them that I'm not a forensic psychologist. I don't do that work, that I'm a treating psychologist or medical health psychologist.
Very good. Thank you very much. That's all I have, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional questions? Any further discussion? Do we have a motion?
I move that probation be terminated.
Thank you. Seconded. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion carries. Thank you, Dr. Garcia, Ms. Stark, for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you, Board.
Thank you.
We will now move to agenda item number 10.
Oh, Madam Chair, I think we would be moving to 11, but I'm wondering if we should ask Mr. Harris if we are obligated to hear this item at this time. It is under the timed item section, but I think that given Ms. Galvin's expertise with this particular case, can we wait for Ms. Galvin to join us and reorder the agenda and hear other items?
Madam Chair, members of the board, Madam Executive Director, you can. It's at the chair's discretion. You just can't hear the case before the time set forth in the agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. Ms. Pagnon, I appreciate that suggestion. I just want to double check. Dr. Dunbar is not present, and then there's no other individuals that were planning to attend, correct?
Correct.
Okay, yeah. Then I would agree that we table this agenda item, given its lengthy history, until Ms. Galvin has returned.
And Madam Chair, might I suggest we do have the parties for items 15 and 16 present, so you may wish to call either one of those next.
Let's start with 16, and then we'll do 15B, and then 15A, and then a comfort break. That way I don't get, left in the black hole. All right. We'll move to item number 16. Item number 16 is a reinstatement request from Dr. Barbara Lanyon. Ms. Poe, would you please provide a summary of this matter to the board?
Yes, Madam Chair and members of the board. On September 19th, the board office received Dr. Lanyon's renewal application requesting reinstatement. Her license expired on October 31st of 2021, and she did indicate in her application that she had practiced during the time that her license was expired. She has provided a detailed statement as to the events that led to the unintentional lapse of her license, as well as details involving her patient caseload over the past 11 months. And she did say she was going to be in attendance today, but I'm not certain if she has joined. Dr. Lanyon, are you on the phone?
Yes, I am.
Thank you, Dr. Lanyon. That completes my summary. I believe board members may have some questions for you, or you do have the opportunity to make a brief statement. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for Ms. Poe? Hearing none, thank you for joining us, Dr. Lanyon. If you would please introduce yourself for the record, and if you would like to make a brief statement. And I don't know if you do have legal counsel here, but if they would also like to introduce themselves, now would be a good time.
My name is Barbara Lanyon. I do not have legal counsel here with me. Was in dereliction of not noticing the time of months and days once we had the hurricane come and kind of render part of our house, including the office that I work out of. It was not usable. And I did provide a summary of that, and I have just also printed out recently the doctors who were involved with my
Dr. Lanyon, I'm sorry to interrupt. This is Ms. Poe. Just a reminder, if you discuss your health status, that's a public meeting, so please do not disclose anything confidential. We could go into executive session if needed. Thank you.
And Dr. Lanyon, we have your materials, so you could don't allude to the diagnosis. You know, just say you had health conditions.
Okay, great. Thank you. I did, as you say, have some health conditions, and they prevented me from being in my office, and I ended up using the video on phone sessions with my clients in an area of the house that wasn't damaged. And that is, I worked with two patients primarily up through the beginning of January of 2022 this year. And then I finished with one of them, and I'm working now with the last of the patients who really wanted to go through all of the material that she remembered as a very, very young child. And we developed a procedure for her to be able to feel the emotions that went with this very young stage of her development, and worked out words that described them for her, because she was so young, there were no words. And we are still working on that. We went from her current age, which was 49, and went down, and we are now at age 1.5. And we have, she has noted a remarkable change in her emotions and in her ability to recall the things that occurred. And this ability has to recall these things and to have the recall emotions and the things that went on with it when she was so very young. And she really is, as I say, she's 1.5 now. And she's really going to make it very soon to the point where she's finished with these issues and no longer needs therapy. Are there any questions?
Are there any questions for Dr. Lanyon? Dr. Stewart?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Dr. Lanyon, good morning.
Yes. Good morning.
So do I understand that you are still working with that particular client?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Dr. Meyer?
Yes.
Yeah, as a follow-up on that, Dr. Lanyon, when did you realize you had not submitted your application?
That was unfortunately in this past September, just months ago. Days ago.
And have you seen your client since then?
Yes, I have.
Okay, that would be my biggest concern, that even once you became aware of your lapsed license and realized you had not submitted, you continued to violate the statutes of that regulate your profession. Can you walk me through the decision to continue seeing her after that realization that you weren't licensed?
I did not have the realization that I wasn't licensed. I should have, and what I needed to do was to have the board, all members of the board, have something written down, and my patient and I were just in the middle of these very early years, and that was a time when what went on in her home really impacted her life. And I didn't think it through. I needed to contact the board and find out whether I would be permitted to continue working with her from that time when I submitted the acknowledgement that.
Madam Chair, members of the board, and Dr. Lanyon, this is Ms. Poe. Originally, when Dr. Lanyon contacted me, she had left a voicemail on August 26th. I then responded and sent her an email. The voicemail, I believe, was her husband, Dr. Richard Lanyon, just asking the status of Dr. Lanyon's license. And so I did provide that information in an email, just that the license number, it expired on October 31st. There was some email back and forth with questions regarding the process to reinstate the license, but there was no discussion in the email or over phone, about can I still practice, or, I intend to still practice, et cetera. We never dived into any of those details. It was just instructions on how to reinstate the license.
Thank you. Dr. Malat?
I have a few questions, Dr. Lanyon. So, yes. So you were aware, I think the board notifies, you get some kind of email a couple of months before your license renewal. So you were aware of that email that you got, because you said you were working on your license renewal materials. Is that correct?
I don't have those materials in front of me, except the letter over the email, which I did provide, and I wonder whether I should could fax materials to you right now so you can see everything. I had directed a description to the Arizona Board of Psychologists Examiners, but I did not know whether it was received or all of the items
No. I'm going back now to 2021. I'm going back a year ago. You indicated in your response that you had been working on your licensure materials. I'm trying to clarify. So what were the parts that you were working on at that point? This is before the storm.
Before the storm. I was working with two patients.
No. I'm talking about your licensing materials.
Oh.
I'm just referring to that fact. You said you were working on your licensure application, but it did not get mail. It's really electronic. So what parts of it were you working on? Had you logged into the site? Had you started uploading continuing ed certificates? I'm just trying to get a sense of what was going on, because your letter to the board states that you were working on it.
Correct.
What parts were you working on?
The general letter that I believe the board.
There's no letter. We don't submit a letter to the board. We just fill out a form. So,
Dr. Lanyon, I believe you had said in your letter that you submitted with your application, when you were referencing you were working on your materials, I believe that indicated you were gathering your continuing education documents. Is that what you meant by materials?
Because you said I had prepared all application materials well in advance of the date.
And to clarify too, just so everyone knows, Dr. Lanyon's license was due for renewal October 31st of last year. The board would have sent out the initial emailed reminder 60 days prior, so it would have been during the first week of September. The board was in transition during this time from switching over from the Salesforce e-licensing system over to the Ventia cloud licensing portal. Originally, we had planned to launch that portal in August, and it was delayed and did not launch, I believe, until October. So I will admit it was a chaotic time here in, you know, trying to alert licensees. And we basically had renewal applications that were sitting on hold for about 6 weeks because we did not have a portal. So there was a bit of chaos going on administratively during this time. I cannot guarantee, what may have happened, with emails and email addresses and things like that getting sent during that time.
My license expired October 31st, 2021, and I do remember getting the email. But of course, my email is current and, following that 60 days, Ms. Poe, after October 31st, was there a reminder sent?
No, we no longer send reminders that your license has expired. We send them at 60 days, 30 days, and 15 days. We no longer send a reminder saying your license is expired. We discontinued that about 2 years ago.
Okay. So going back still to my question, I had prepared all application materials well in advance of the date. And then, you talk about your medical condition. By August, you had kind of changed how you saw clients and it was manageable. And then in mid-August, you experienced a huge storm. So I'm just trying to get an idea of the events for that period of time. There's a second issue that Dr. Myers raised, but I'm trying to understand that period of time. So how would you say the storm in mid-August, because you didn't have to submit this until October?
How did that storm in mid-August affect me? The large tree that fell on the house, damage the part of the house, damage the study where my husband and I work and have piles of books, or tend to have piles of books all over the place and bookcases. But that was the room that was where that tree landed. And as a result, I needed the help from the people who responded to get my house and particularly that room back and functioning. And I took out and placed in boxes materials that we had there, plus a file. It was, as you can tell from how I'm describing it, it was a rather chaotic period. And when I'm in a chaotic period, I'm responding to what happened. Mostly my focus is on that. And as a result, I ended up not getting the material to you in time to the board.
So this was in August of 2021, not this year, correct? This is when
correct.
You would have been preparing your information for the, okay, so I just wanted to clarify that. Thank you.
Yeah.
And this is Ms. Poe, just a follow-up to my comment I had earlier. I did look in my records during the time that the board was without a live portal. I did see in my records we were sending out email reminders via a service called Constant Contact. And I do show that a reminder was sent to Dr. Lanyon's email address that we have on file right now. An email was sent to her manually through Constant Contact.
How often did you check your email during this period between August and October?
It was not as frequently. I moved my things out, and right now my computer's sitting on the dining room table, and the dining room table is where I did a lot of my stuff, my work stuff, and I have a bookcase with piles of books and a filing system. So I moved the office into the dining room, and
do you use email to communicate with your clients?
Email. No, what I tend to use is,
Were you checking your email? Maybe a better question is, were you checking your email between August and October?
I was checking my email between August and October, but it was admittedly, not as frequently as I am accustomed to, which is, you know, a couple times a day.
But you were checking it once a week?
I should have been. I did not keep track.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I saw Dr. Stewart. I'll pause.
Madam Chair, I apologize. I respectfully recommend that we go into executive session.
And is that for the purpose of legal advice?
It is.
Okay. We have a motion for executive session for the purpose of legal advice. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a second. Any further discussion? All in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries. All right. I do think we've got everybody back.
And good morning, Madam Chair. This is Jean Galvin. For the record, I have returned.
Thank you, Ms. Galvin, and welcome.
Nice to see you, Jean.
Pardon my tardiness.
All right. So we were, where we left off is we were asking questions to Dr. Lanyon. Are there any additional questions that board members may have for Dr. Lanyon?
Dr. Make a quick statement. Yeah. Yes. I just wanted to say that in hearing Dr. Lanyon's discussion, I realized there's a slight connection with me that her husband has retired from the Department of Psychology at ASU. I've not met this Dr. Lanyon. I don't see a conflict of interest, but just wanted to throw that out there for the record. Dr. Lanyon, if you'd like me to recuse, I would. You're muted.
You're on mute, Dr. Lanyon.
Madam Chair, I sent her a prompt to hopefully that will work.
Thank you. And I do believe we have someone on the phone as well that needs to mute themselves.
Okay, that looks like
maybe
Dr. Lanyon, I think she has. Perfect. All right, Dr. Lanyon, Dr. Meyer made his disclosure and you were going to say something. Did you have something to add?
Let's see. I basically, like, just with me on the table, have a couple of things. An email from the State of Arizona Board of Psychologist Examiners, dated September 22, 2022, which is just this September. And some information about my medical problems.
Thank you. Dr. Lanyon, do you have any anything to add with regard to Dr. Meyer's statement, or are you good to proceed?
I think I'm good to proceed.
Thank you. All right, do we have any additional questions for Dr. Lanyon? Hearing none, we will move into deliberations, and this is a time where the board members will speak amongst themselves. Do we have anybody that would like to begin deliberations? Dr. Stewart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Dr. Lanyon, I appreciate you being here this morning. I think in you have your license number is lower than mine, so you've been practicing a few years, a couple of years. Longer than I have. And in appreciation of that, I would like to for the board to consider the longitudinal professional practice that Dr. Lanyon brings forth, because this was back in the mid-1970s when she was licensed, and the psychology has built the foundation for this. I just wanted to recognize that.
Thank you. And yes, thank you, Dr. Lanyon, for your years of psychological services. Do we have additional discussion?
Yeah, again, I want to re-echo what my board members have stated regarding appreciation for your long years of practice in the field and a history of no complaints prior to this, if I'm not mistaken. I am a little worried about the length of time that went between the license expiring and reinstating. I do understand the circumstances, when your house is damaged and trying to deal with all that. including medical conditions. It's a lot to deal with. But the fact that Dr. Lanyon had no awareness that her license had expired. I mean, she knew it was expiring. She started to work on it. Things happened. And then we went through a period of almost 11, 10 months of lack of awareness. That really kind of worries me a little bit. And there's concern for the public. If we were to reinstate Dr. Lanyon, and you know, we have her application up for reinstatement, I would like to get more information about, fitness for duty and until we get that, maybe ask her to not practice. It would be voluntary at this point, but that's what I'm leaning towards. So.
I certainly support that, Dr. Malott. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So, Dr. Malott, the proposal would be to, perhaps present a consent agreement that would allow for Dr. Lanyon to review options for perhaps fitness for duty and other considerations as a component of the reinstatement of the licensure. A component of that would also be that the ability to practice until that has been completed would be on suspension, essentially, as part of the consent agreement.
Put on hold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, put on hold. That there would not be an option for practicing until the conditions of the consent agreement have been met. So that would give the opportunity for Dr. Lanyon to, if necessary, consult with outside resources, come to a decision that is informed for herself as to what she would like to do. Or the alternative could be that that if she were to not choose to seek that route, that we would not be reinstating her license. And so I just wanted to make sure that was clearly summarized, and that was what you were speaking to in your recommendation.
Yeah, and the last part of your statement, Dr. Wilson, was this kind of, maybe like the lack of or not supporting the renewal. But I think we first need to ask Dr. Lanyon if she is willing to agree to the consent agreement. And Mr. Harris, yeah, that would be the right procedure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what I'm hearing, Madam Chair, members of the board, is that you would like to move to offer her a consent agreement for the reinstatement of her license based upon the information you have in your materials, subject to her understanding that she would be prohibited from seeing any patients until such time as she undergoes whatever type of an evaluation you deem appropriate and comes back to the board and receives the board's affirmative approval to return to practice. And if not accepted, then her request for reinstatement would be denied. But in the alternative, board staff can work with her on other options, such as perhaps withdrawing her request for reinstatement if she's not inclined to go along with the consent agreement. I don't know if I've captured that discussion fairly. And I would ask that, Jean, if I misspoke at all about board's prior practices and procedures, please get me on the right path.
Based on your summary, the board has taken similar action in the past. The only thing I would add to that, if she is not willing to withdraw her request for reinstatement, then the board would have the option of denying that request for reinstatement. but I understand the summary of the previous discussion that Mr. Harris has provided.
And Ms. Galvin, I think, I think some of the commentary of the board members, I think it would be important that Dr. Lanyon have the opportunity to seek support so that this is an informed decision. We want to make sure that we're not, coming across as it's our way or the highway, but that she has the opportunity to seek those supports.
I do believe that by offering her the consent agreement, that does afford her the opportunity to seek out whatever, guidance or support or representation she deems appropriate before letting you know how she would like to proceed.
So would the motion then be to direct Ms. Galvin board staff to work with Dr. Lanyon on a proposed consent agreement with those outlined considerations?
So moved.
Perfect. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Do we have any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please. Roll call. Ms. Poe?
Yes, Madam Chair. Dr. Davis Wilson?
Yes.
Dr. Davey?
Yes.
Dr. Medina?
Yes.
Dr. Meyer? Dr. Meyer? Oh, you're muted.
Yes.
Thank you. Dr. Malott?
Yes.
Dr. Stewart?
Yes.
Mr. Nguyen?
Yes.
Vote is unanimous. Motion carries. Board staff does have one clarifying question. If Dr. Lanyon opts to rescind her application, withdraw it, she has paid the $500 renewal reinstatement fee. Is board staff authorized to refund that to her?
I would be okay with that. It seems like there's a head nod consensus. Anybody not okay with it? Yes.
Yeah, I think board should follow practice,
Yes, historically we have done so. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Madam Chair, members of the board, thank you. Before we move on, though, I just want to clarify for Jean that she has enough information to move forward with board staff. And then also it's my understanding that if for some reason we aren't able to reach a consent agreement and Ms. Lehman doesn't withdraw her request for reinstatement, the matter would come back before you for determining whether or not you want to deny her request for reinstatement, or was that part of the motion that was made, that if it's not accepted or her application isn't withdrawn, that her request would be denied?
I think that we want to give her a chance to have conversations with both staff before. Perfect. Yeah, and we would come back to the board with that request.
Thank you for that clarification.
In the meantime, I just want to remind, because this is still pending, it is not appropriate to practice without a license. So she is on an expired license. I'm just reemphasizing that fact.
Good point.
Well, I don't know whether you are hearing me now. This is Barbara Lanyon, but I agree to that. I will have a brief meeting with the person that I'm currently doing therapy with, explain the situation, and that I cannot practice until the board has reached that agreement.
And possibly provide your client with a referral resource too, in case they need assistance.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Lanyon.
Yeah, board staff will be in touch.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Harris. Madam Chair, this is Ms. Poe. I'm going to go ahead and give out the first CE code word. The first CE code word, if you're listening for continuing ed, is apple cider. Apple cider. Thank you.
And Madam Chair, members of the board, I think at this time I'm going to sign off. I wish everybody a great rest of the meeting and a great weekend. It was a pleasure pitch hitting.
Thank you, Mr. Harris.
All right. So I would still like to, if we could, go to item number 15. I do think that both items will go quickly, and then we'll start with B so that I am recused from A, so I will recuse myself. Dr. Davey will step in, and then he will prompt a comfort break so that staff can work to notify me and get me back on. All right.
Plus, I'm just nicer when I play chair. I let people have comfort breaks, unlike you that are just such a taskmaster.
Gonna make it stretch just a little bit longer. All right. We are now going to move to agenda item number 15, and this is going to be the discussion consideration regarding reinstatement requests for licenses for behavior analysts. We will start with item number B, Nadia Todd. Miss, I am the lead on this application, so I will provide a summary. Miss Todd did submit a reinstatement request. She had a license that expired on August 31st. She noticed by September 9th that she had a lapse in that expiration and worked to rectify that concern. She did state that between the periods of September 1st and September 9th that she did indeed practice in the state of Arizona. And she did disclose that to the board. The committee has reviewed her materials and the circumstances surrounding the reinstatement request, and the committee has recommended that her license be reinstated, but that a future agenda item be added to the CBA meeting for consideration of opening a board complaint related to the 9 days of potential unlicensed practice. So that concludes my summary. If you have any questions, I am happy to answer them. Hearing none, is there any discussion? Hearing none, then I will go ahead and make a motion that we approve the reinstatement request for Ms. Todd, and that we do direct the CBA to add a future agenda item to review, if necessary, the opening of a complaint related to the unlicensed practice.
So moved.
And that would be, I made the motion, so we have a second.
Second.
Thank you. Do we have any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries. Dr. Davey, I will hand it over to you.
Oh, actually, Madam Chair, she didn't turn her camera on, so she may have eluded you, but Ms. Todd, I show that she is in the meeting. You may have to scroll to another screen.
I actually was checking while we were talking and I did not see her. Miss Todd, are you able to? Oh, there she is.
There she is.
Oh, sorry about that. Miss Todd, would you like to add anything? I apologize. I did try to scroll and see who I should have called out for you.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I just wanted to say that I was completely unaware that my license was expired. I realized it when I went onto my CAQH account, and that's when I realized it was expired. As soon as I realized that, I stopped practicing and I transferred all my cases to my director. So I have not practiced since that date of the 9th. I also sent letters to my RBTs that I supervised during that time, just letting them know that I was practicing with a expired license and that I'm trying to get it reinstated. I just wanted to say that I know it is my responsibility to keep track of the expiration date, and I will definitely be doing that in the future. I've never missed an important expiration date related to my career. So, I'm kind of hard on myself about this, but I definitely will make sure that I keep track of that next time. And just wanted to reiterate that I did not know that it was expired. I noticed that the emails were going to my email that the storage was full. So I have fixed that. But again, I just wanted to say that I didn't know and I haven't practiced since then. So
thank you, Ms. Todd. Does anybody have any questions for Ms. Todd? Hearing none, does anybody have any changes to the motion or the vote that just occurred? I feel bad. Did it out of order? Hearing none. All right, we are good to go. Thank you, Ms. Todd, for joining us, and board staff will be in contact with you.
Thank you.
So until she receives notification from the board that has been reinstated, Heidi, can you give her an idea of when that might occur?
Madam Chair, I believe if we can't get to it today, that's largely predicated on the duration of this meeting. Monday's a holiday, so Tuesday seems like a reasonable day, but we'll make every effort to prioritize this.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. So Ms. Todd, you will have to wait until the board staff confirms the reinstatement before you begin practicing again.
Okay. And Madam Chair, if I may, so that can be verified on the directory on our website once that is completed. So ostensibly someone would not have to wait for something to be mailed to them. So the website would be the place to verify when that is done.
And Madam Chair and members of the board, this is Ms. Poe. The portal sends out an automatic email, and I will also send Ms. Todd an email as soon as that is done. And it will likely get done today.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Fantastic. Thank you. Dr. Davey, I will turn it over to you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate it. So the next matter on the agenda is a continuation of 15, discussion, consideration, possible action regarding recommendations from the Committee on Behavior Analysts for the following licensee restatement requests. The next one is for Michelle Reed. And with this case, I'm also serving as the lead for it, so I'll provide a brief summary of the matter. Individual seeking reinstatements. They were issued their behavior analyst license by the board in July of 2020. Her license expired April 30th of 2022. Approximately 3 months later, on August 3rd, 2022, Ms. Reed emailed board staff indicating that it had recently come to her attention that her license had expired and that she had was incorrectly thought that she could renew her license at the 2-year mark rather than on her birth month. Which had been a change that occurred several years previously, that we are now doing it on the birth month for behavior analysts. We've reviewed the CEU work that the individual did to be able to meet the requirements of the reinstatements. The committee of behavior analysts believe that that was substantial or significant or sufficient. And that the reinstatement itself can go forward. The point I will make to the full board is that one of the reasons we're moving, one of the issues here is that during the time that this was being processed by board staff, we also received a complaint about this licensee. And so in discussions with legal counsel and through the CBA, we've decided that the best course of action and what we recommend to the board is that this be that this individual be reinstated, and then that we will move forward separately in terms of adjudicating the complaint. And that is my summary. And with that, I will go find my handy dandy notes here that I should be following. Are there any questions for me from the board? All right, hearing none. Ms. Reed, I did try to scroll, but I'm not going to pretend that I could find it. Ms. Reed, are you present today and wish to address the board concerning your application?
If I may, before we do that, Dr.
Oh, yes.
Reed, Would that also include a referral to the committee on behavior analyst to decide whether a complaint should be opened for her unlicensed practice?
I don't believe, perhaps Ms. Packard to remind me, I don't believe that that was part of the recommendation.
Ms. Galvin, I believe due to, as discussed at the CBA meeting, there is currently a pending complaint with allegations discusses this.
So the current complaint contains this, an allegation that she practiced unlicensed.
That's right.
Correct. Just so Ms. Reed is aware that will be addressed on the underlying complaint.
Thank you, board staff, for jogging my memory of something that only happened a week ago.
No problem.
I appreciate that. All right. So thank you, Ms. Galvin, again, for your guidance. Ms. Reed, are you present?
I am.
All right. Do you wish to address the board with regard to your reinstatement?
I have nothing further to add.
Thank you very much for being here. I appreciate your attendance. Any further discussion from the board? If not, we'll entertain a motion, and I'm happy to make it. Hearing no discussion, I'll make the motion that the reinstatement move forward for Ms. Licensee. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you very much. Any further discussion around this matter? All right. Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any oppose? Any abstain? All right. Thank you very much. That concludes this matter. And with that, I will be happy to provide the board members and the audience a comfort break that we will go down until 15 minutes to 11:10. Does that sound good, Ms. Packerman?
It's 10:25.
Oh, it's 10:20. I know, but I'm saying, so let's go 10:25. So let's say 10:40. 10:40. I can't do math, Dr. Milan.
Well, you said 11:10. I didn't know which time zone you were in.
No, I don't know what time zone I'm in either. But yeah, let's go 15 minutes from right now, 14 minutes from right now, and we'll circle back. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Lot are back. And I do not believe we have a quorum without at least one of them, so we will have to wait. And there's Dr. Milat. Fantastic. So we do. And Dr.
Yeah, I'm just turning my camera off because I'm eating an apple.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you. And Dr. Stewart, are you back with us as well? Hmm. Picture's so lovely. I thought it was like, I thought maybe it was just him. But he is back. But we do have a quorum, so we'll go ahead and get started. But to just
Madam Chair, just one second. My lovely children are home because of fall break, and they are using up a lot of bandwidth. So I'm going to stop my video and send them a quick text message to tell them to jump off or whatever the heck they're doing.
Sounds great. Thank you. All right. So we do have everybody back at this time. We will move to agenda item number 5, and that's going to be the council update. Ms. Galvin, do you have an update for the board?
Yes, briefly, Madam Chairman. On the 21st of September, the state went to hearing in the matter of Kiewer-Zielpinski, and that was a formal hearing held before Administrative Law Judge Jenna Clark at the Office of Administrative Hearings. And Dr. Zielpinski did appear. If you will recall, he was a gentleman that the state alleged had made numerous misrepresentations on his application, in addition to being disciplined in another state and having a criminal record, all of those things that he failed to disclose. That hearing concluded on the 21st. We are awaiting a copy of the administrative law judge's final decision. We received the court reporter's transcript within the last day or so, but we do expect the recommended decision from the administrative law judge shortly. And I believe it's staff's intention to, as part of a special meeting that we have notified you of, you will be asked to consider Sapinski's recommended decision if timing works out. And that's all I have at this time.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Galvin? I have just the one for Ms. Galvin or Ms. Pacanon. I know we're going to try to time it without, but just for clarification for board, if the timing doesn't work out because of other kind of legislative timelines, we will have to have a second special meeting this month. So that's correct, right?
Madam Chair, potentially, although with every day that passes, I have to look at the calendar, we may be able to still have this on your November 4th agenda. So if it's well into next week, we are still within that, Ms. Galvin, 30 days, I believe. So we have options. It may be that this matter lands on a special emergency meeting to be announced soon or November 4. So I think we won't now have two special meetings.
Okay, perfect. I just wanted to make sure because they are, because it's all defined legislatively, just that the board members understand that those meetings are extremely important and quorum is going to be important. So I just wanted to make sure that they were prepared should there be need to, but it sounds like we'll work on the one special meeting and then hopefully get this on the next, on the future agenda item if that doesn't work out.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. And Ms. Michelson did send out a scheduling poll yesterday afternoon. So we have several responses and are waiting for others, but we're hoping that we can confirm the date and time of the meeting very soon, the special emergency meeting.
Fantastic. Thank you. All right. We will move to agenda item number 11, another agenda item we saved for you, Ms. Galvin. All right, agenda item number 11 is related to a possible non-compliance cease and desist order issued by the board February 19th of 2021 for Dr. John Denbauer. Ms. Michelson, will you please provide a summary of this matter to the board?
Yes, Madam Chair. The board may recall that Dr. Denbauer entered into a consent agreement with the board in 2020 in which he surrendered his psychologist license. Approximately 2 months after surrendering that license in February of 2021, the board voted to issue a cease and desist order to Dr. Denbauer after receiving information that he held himself out as a licensed psychologist during a recent job interview. At that time, the interviewing psychologist had notified the board of this concern. Board staff recently received correspondence from a concerned individual indicating that Dr. Denbauer was still holding himself out as a licensed neuropsychologist on his website and had wrote an article on that website in August of 2022 that referenced having these credentials. In reviewing Dr. Denbauer's website after receiving this email, I noted that the blog section of his website included an article dated August 2nd of 2022, which displayed that it was an article from the Associated Press website. The article stated in part that Dr. Denbauer is a clinical neuropsychologist specializing in the assessment and detection of early stage dementia. I do want to note that I could not locate any such article on the Associated Press's website, so I do not know who this article was written by. In reviewing the website, I noticed that the bottom has a disclaimer statement, which states in part, John Denbauer, PhD, is not a current licensed professional. By entering into this website, you are not entering into any client/doctor relationship nor business arrangement. Although I did see this disclosure statement appear at the end of each page on his website, there are various sections on the website, such as the homepage, where it states that he's a trained doctoral level clinical neuropsychologist. The cease and desist order that was issued by the board that states if respondent continues to engage in such activity in violation of the board's statute and rules, the board may pursue injunctive relief pursuant to Arizona Revised Statute 32-2083. The board is authorized to seek an injunction against Dr. Denbauer in Superior Court arising out of a violation of 32-2084 for holding himself out as a licensed psychologist. Ms. Galvin can certainly provide additional information regarding what this process would look like to seek an injunction if the board decides today that he is not in compliance with that consent agreement. Please let me know if you have any questions at all. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Michelson. And to clarify, the individual that brought this forward to our attention is not present today, and Dr. Denbauer is also not present today. He was not notified of this initial meeting, but should board staff decide that they need to ask him questions, we could table this and notify him.
Yes, that's correct, Madam Chair.
Thank you. All right, do we have any questions for Ms. Michelson? Hearing none, do we have any discussion?
Madam Chair, can we go to executive session to receive legal advice from Ms. Galvin?
We have a motion to go to executive session for the purpose of receiving legal advice. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a second. Any further discussion? All in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries. I do believe we have everybody back.
Yeah, we all here.
It moved everybody. So Dr. Malott went from like the bottom corner up to the top corner. So I couldn't find you, Dr. Malott.
I was the first to unmute. That's how you get to the top corner.
All right, Dr. Malott, did you have some discussion?
Yeah. So, yes. So I was just thinking as I was looking through all his materials, Dr. Denbauer does have a disclaimer. However, there are certain statements that could still mislead the public. And while it may have some factual information within it, for example, Dr. Denbauer states on his blog site, he's a trained doctoral level clinical neuropsychologist. And then he also says he's not licensed. I am leaning towards maybe the board staff sending him an email or a letter, basically wherever they can contact him, pointing out those few things that, he is putting himself out as a psychologist based on that statement, even though there's a disclaimer and it would be best to rephrase, and maybe even offering him some potential language in terms of rephrasing, if that's okay with Ms. Galvin. Yeah, so offering him this language. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would agree, Dr. Ma. I think that, the disclaimer is on there. There's, some wordsmithing that could be done. I think the difficulty with articles and blogs that are written by other authors or what have you is that sometimes that those other circumstances, we don't always have control with how they frame some of the words, and we can try to educate people or have things changed. But I think if we're just looking at the website, perhaps just that due diligence of, hey, here, we appreciate the disclaimer, but here are some other considerations that we're going to request that you make edits to. Any additional discussion? Do you need a vote on that, Ms. Galvin?
Yes, please.
Okay. So
I think we don't have a second. I think Dr. Malott's motion was to have staff write him a letter expressing the concern about some of his language, acknowledging that he does have a disclaimer, but perhaps suggesting that there could be some revision to his website that would lessen the probability of the public being misled. But I don't have a second.
I'll second. Any further discussion? All in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries.
I did find the article, by the way, on the website. So,
did you find the one on the website or the Associated Press? So on the website, I think what Ms. Michelson's talking about is on the website, it's like a blog within the website, but then it says Associated Press, which would indicate that it's probably potentially published it by the Associated Press.
Yeah. And I did find that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I did a different search. So I'll send it to Ms. Michelson.
Thank you.
The link.
Madam Chair, this is Ms. Poe. I'm going to go ahead and give out the next CE code word. The next CE code word is pumpkin patch. Pumpkin patch. Thank you.
Technically two words.
Yeah. Code phrase. All right, we will now move to agenda item 12, which is going to be a discussion, consideration of possible action regarding recommendation from the Committee on Behavior Analysts to refer to the Behavior Analyst Certification Board information concerning Marie Salad. Ms. Pakanon, could you please provide a summary of this matter to the board?
Yes, Madam Chair. This matter emerged before the Committee on Behavior Analysts when the committee was reviewing the application of Susie Campfield. What Ms. Campfield had articulated to board staff and then subsequently to the committee was that she had received refusals from a former supervisor to supply supervision verification documentation on her behalf. And so she supplied the committee with instances where she had requested that information be sent to her, which in all cases that request was rebutted by the former supervisor, Ms. Salad. So the committee is their protocol. They invited Ms. Salad to come before the committee to have some conversation about the responsibilities of a supervisor under the BACB Code of Ethics, the Behavior Analysts Certification Board. Ms. Salad did not respond to any of my attempts to reach her, to invite her to come before the committee. And so the final opportunity where the committee reviewed this matter, they determined that because Ms. Salad is, she is a BCBA, she is certified, but practicing in Florida. Florida does not require licensure, and she's not licensed in Arizona. So the committee's remedies, the available remedies, if you will, were simply to forward this matter to the board for its consideration whether to refer this matter to the Behavior Analyst Certification Board, the BACB, and the BACB in its discretion would then consider whether to conduct an ethics-based investigation. So I have supplied some history of this matter from the committee's meeting minutes and also cited the sections of the BACB code that the committee members identified as potentially on point. Of course, that would be up to the BACB, however, to determine. So I, of course, invited Ms. Salad to attend this meeting and received no response. I don't show that she's here unless her name doesn't appear on her tile. I'm happy to answer any questions that you have about this matter.
Ms. Pakanon, if you wouldn't mind, I was trying to pull it up. If you could cite those BACB ethics codes that are noted, I would appreciate that. Like I said, we have a lot of students on the call, and I think that that would be helpful to cite for the record.
Yes, Madam Chair, I can certainly do that. The committee cited section 1.02, conforming with legal and professional requirements. Behavior analysts follow the law and the requirements of their professional community. For example, the BACB and licensure boards. Then the second section, 1.15, responding to requests. Behavior analysts make appropriate efforts to respond to requests for information from and comply with deadlines of relevant individuals. It cites a number of instances, which includes licensure boards. They also comply with practice requirements imposed by the BACB, employers, or governmental entities. The third of the four sections is 2.02 timeliness, behavior analysts deliver services and carry out necessary service-related administrative responsibilities in a timely manner. And then finally, section 4.01, compliance with supervision requirements. Behavior analysts are knowledgeable about and comply with all applicable supervisory requirements, for example, BACB rules, licensure requirements, including those related to supervision.
Thank you. Are there any additional questions for Ms. Packnon? Do we have any discussion? Dr. Davey? Oh.
No discussion. Ready to make the motion.
Fantastic. Did you want to make the motion? You're welcome to do so at this time.
Yeah, just happy to make the motion that we move this to the BACB as a complaint from the state of Arizona.
And I will second that. Any further discussion? Mm-hmm. Right, hearing none, all in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion carries. Ms. Packnon, I know that the individual on the next item had intended to join. Did she remind me, did she have a timing conflict or are we good to move on?
Yes, Madam Chair. It was my understanding, she's in Colorado, so an hour ahead of us. She had indicated she had a scheduling conflict until 12 o'clock her time, 11 o'clock ours. And my response was that I thought that given the anticipated duration of the meeting, that we could hold off on this agenda item until she arrives. It is now 11:14, 12:14. I don't see her. I can try to, maybe I'll ask board staff because I know the next items on the agenda are likely mine. Maybe board staff can try to reach out to her and see if she still intends to be here. I think because we've corresponded about this and she indicated she would attend, we want to give her that opportunity.
I agree. And I think if she was held up on something or, you know, something came up and she's just running late, I would like to give her the opportunity, also noting that, you know, during the meeting in which the committee saw this, Dr. Davey was absent. And so I think having the opportunity to have her present for questions, if we can, would be appreciated. So with that in mind, you are correct that the next few items are yours. Do you have a preference in which order we see them?
Madam Chair, I do not. Does the board have a, well, actually, let me take that back. I also have been looking with respect to agenda item 19, I've been looking for the ASPA representatives in this meeting. I don't know if they are here or perhaps they are the individuals who have phoned into the meeting. I did send a link earlier this morning, resend it in the event that it eluded them, but I think we should ask to see if they're present.
Dr. Flint is here.
I'm sorry. I beg your pardon. Dr. Northrup and Dr. House are the individuals that I am looking for. I don't know. I mean, we could ask Dr. Flint if this is an agenda item that, you know, she's comfortable speaking to, but it's my understanding Dr. Northrup and Dr. House were requesting time on this agenda.
Dr. Flint, would you like to provide clarification?
Hello, Madam Chair and committee. I do not have any information from Drs. Northrup or House, so I would not be able to speak to that topic. I apologize.
Not a problem at all. Thank you. Thank you for letting us know. Dr. Northrup, Dr. House, if either of you are on the phone, if you would like to unmute yourself and state your name for the record.
Maybe we should do the same thing. Maybe one of the board staff could reach out to either doctor and say we are ready, you know, since we don't have a whole lot of items left. Uh-huh.
Yes, and Madam Chair, we did know that for at least a few moments, item 20, the applicant, she was present in the meeting, but board staff observed that she departed. Perhaps she's one of the individuals who phoned in, but that agenda item is also still needs to be addressed.
No. So that's going to be Dr. Weigert. Dr. Weigert, are you on the phone? Hearing none, if we want to start with item number 17, Ms. Pakanon, we can just go in order and perhaps that'll give time for the others to join.
Yes, Madam Chair. I think that at this time, it would be helpful for board members to have your memorandum open, and you'll be prompted to click on some links as well if you want to see the statute language as it currently exists. And then that, I think, will help you better sort of understand what it is the committee is recommending. So the committee, Legislative and Rules Committee, the members have met twice, once in August and then a follow-up meeting in September. At this time, even though there are some possible rule changes that are very much under consideration for purposes of determining whether we want to request a bill in the 2023 session, the statute issues are need to be addressed within the next month or two. So we won't be bringing any rule revision recommendations to you at this time. Those will follow. So we're only focusing on statute revisions. I will go through the recommendations one by one. I think so Dr. Meyer was very active in this discussion. Dr. Davey, I know you had to miss a meeting. So the other committee members, Ms. Shreve and Mr. Diner, are not present. So I may lean on Dr. Meyer quite a bit for these recommendations. So I'll summarize each one and then you can pose your questions and seek clarification from me. The board may remember that 322061 at subsection 16CC, that is one of the instances of unprofessional conduct. It relates to definitions and court-ordered evaluations and what information is to be supplied or not supplied as a result. So the committee recommended that the language including, the word including to be changed to excluding. In doing so, then it conforms to the language in the APA Code of Ethics at section 9.04. So the consensus of the committee was to change the statute language to ensure that there is no confusion or conflict between those two sets of language. I'd be happy to answer any questions about that.
Are there any questions for Ms. Pakanon? Dr. Stewart.
Ms. Pakanon, the language is to excluding.
I will read the language. Hold on just a moment. My links are opening up very slow. The language states, failing to make available to a client or patient or to the client's or patient's designated representative on written request, a copy of the client's or patient's record, including raw test data, psychometric testing materials, and other information as provided by law. So the committee's analysis of that language found that if you change the word, including raw test data, psychometric testing, and so forth, to excluding, that brings that language in alignment with the APA code.
Because that was in discussion with Farron Aiken then in terms of the not wanting to release protected data, contractual protected data from the publisher houses. Is that correct?
Is that how you remember that, Dr. Meyer? That's how I remember it.
Yes, that's correct. We're saying that the violation is that you're not releasing records to clients, but we no longer need to release the raw test data. So right. By changing that terminology, now we're consistent, as Dr. Aiken had pointed out.
Excellent. Thank you.
Very good. If there are no further questions, I'll move to the next one. 3220.71 at subsection A4, that is the statute prescribing the qualifications for licensure for psychologists, education and training. There are some instances in A4, C, D, and E where the word basis is an incorrect word. We believe it should be bases, B-A-S-E-S. So it was the consensus of the committee that this needed to be cleaned up. I'm a little surprised that this hasn't been caught previously by the staff that drafts legislative changes. If we are bringing forward a bill, they do routinely look for instances where mistakes and poor use of words needs to be cleaned up, but we may as well bring this forward if we're going to be bringing other recommendations forward. Any questions about that one?
What page is that?
So if you click on the link to 3220.71,
A4 in C, D. We actually use basis. I don't know why. God, I want to look at APA language for that. That's how I've seen it in coursework. Bases of behavior. So it's not basis. Mm-hmm. Oh. Okay, I need to go back. What is the statutory language? Oh, to bases. Okay, yeah, it has to be bases. You're right.
Okay, very good. Thank you for affirming.
Because that's how it shows up on different sites. Bases of.
Okay. Any other questions about that or thoughts? Okay, then we'll move to 3220.71, the statute prescribing requirement, same statute, sorry, requirements for licensure, remediation, and credentials. Oh, is that, I may have a incorrect citation there. 3220.71, hold on. No, qualifications of applicants, education, training. So this is the change that we want to make, and we didn't identify specifically how, what language to insert. I think that's conceptually, we supply this information to the drafter, and then that will be inserted in, you know, wherever it makes sense. But the concept is to allow that if someone uses ASPPB's credential bank, that information from the bank, in other words, those verified documents can be used to satisfy education and retraining and training requirements for persons who are applying by examination or examination and licensure. So I think what the board has done is we've encouraged and we're supportive of individuals' use of ASPPB's credentials bank, but we stop short of indicating that we would accept documentation be supplied from the bank, and we would consider that primary source verified. So it was the consensus of the committee that we simply allow that source of information to be acceptable for purposes of meeting qualifications for licensure. Any questions about that? Okay. Then we'll move to 3220.71.01. We are recommending the committee's recommending that in addition to the other entities from whom that are recognized accreditors of education programs from whom we can accept, you know, the academic program, that the Canadian Psychological Association's accreditation be added to the list. What our research found is that there are experts who do believe that the CPA standards are at least as equivalent to those of the APA, of its counterpart in for the American Psychological Association, and some even posit that their standards are at a higher level than APA's. So we did some research and we found that, of course, you know, the Canadian provinces, most of them do require CPA accreditation. There are a number of U.S. jurisdictions as well that will accept CPA accreditation, among others. It isn't, you know, obviously an exclusive exclusive language. So this may be, I think, something that the board sees as a mobility and portability, licensure mobility and portability enhancer, if you will. So questions about that? Okay, I'm seeing some nods. Okay.
Dr. Stewart?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This has certainly been a long time in coming. I remember when Arizona first went into SCIPAC, and this has been a continual process. I certainly endorse it for sure.
Okay. Dr. Meyer, did you have any thoughts on that one?
Just that APA sees CPA as equivalent, and our statutes also reference CPA in another section that would suggest that was the intention anyway, to see this as equivalent. So the committee didn't see any problems with adding this.
Great. So if you're ready for the next, the committee saw opportunity in 322071, and possibly we would make the same change to 322071.01 at subsection D for qualifications for licensure, to allow the National Register, HSP, the ABPP, and the CPQ credentials to satisfy the training and education requirements for individuals who are applying for examination by licensure or the examination. So currently this is not permitted in our statute if the applicant has not been licensed for 5 or more years. So that would just expand to whom that credential could be utilized for purposes of satisfying those requirements. Any comments or questions about that? It would streamline the application process for some applicants, we believe, considerably.
Madam Chair.
Oh, sorry, Dr. Stewart.
Thank you. Yeah, I absolutely agree. The streamlining, cutting down on the paperwork and the hoops to jump through, is tremendous. Thank you so much for doing this.
Terrific. So shifting a little bit away from qualifications for licensure, potential changes to those, at least as it relates to training and education. So examinations was a big focus, so the ACCP examination was a big focus of the committee. And so Dr. Malott will remember that some months ago, it was a conversation with Dr. Malott, Dr. Flint, myself, explored this idea of whether the statute of what would be required if this board were interested in allowing graduates of clinical psychology programs to have access to part one of the ERPP sooner than the statute allows them to right now. And we did confirm in the process of our conversation that it is the statute that prescribes currently that in order to take part one of the ERPP, all of the education requirements need to be met. So by changing, modifying the statute, once the coursework has been completed, then the idea is that someone who intends to apply or is applying for licensure can take the examination after the coursework and preceding other requirements. So this would create some time and space between part one and part two of the examination. It is also advantageous. I mean, from a fiscal perspective, of course, that presents some advantages, potential advantages to applicants. But it also tests the candidate at the time where that information is most current. This is something that when we had this conversation, the timing of it was not conducive to the legislative session. So the session was well underway. It was too late to introduce any legislation at that point. And we still had some more information to gather. So what we've learned since that meeting was that ASPPB is very supportive of this. So they're actually actively encouraging jurisdictions to consider this policy change. To my knowledge, this state, Arizona, our jurisdiction, seems most earnest about it, but I wouldn't be surprised if this is something that other early adopter states are giving serious thought to as well. Questions, comments, Dr. Malott may have thoughts.
So this is a statutory change. I just want to look at the whole statutory thing. The big... So an application, so it would go in, trying to look at both documents at the same time.
So Madam Chair, the issue, Dr. Malott, is that 3220.71.01 at subsection D indicates that a person may take the examination after completing the educational requirements described in 3220.71. So 3220.71 prescribes all of it, the coursework, the internship, the dissertation. So I am not certain how we would retool that language, but again, this would be, you know, conceptually, this is what we want the language to reflect. And so the drafting of the bill would be done by Legislative Council staff.
So so are you talking about, I just want to see the exact statute as it is. I'm in the statute now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I gave you the incorrect citation. I was up a row. Look at 3220.72C. That is the statute that I was attempting to describe.
An applicant may not take an examination administered for and by the board until the applicant completes the education requirements of this article. The board may approve an applicant who's obtained a doctoral degree in psychology to take before completing the experience requirements, except as provided, may not take. Applicant may not enter. I like the fact that it says it completes the education requirements of this article, because sometimes students take elective coursework, they take additional practicum, you know, more than what is required. So the fact that it says of this article is very specific. It really matches up to the what we look at when we look at non-accredited programs. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, I believe that is correct. Ms. Galvin, would you agree?
I don't know, Heidi, if I can say with certainty without reviewing the whole article. I believe you're correct, but I...
Okay, and then it says, and so the second sentence would follow the word article. All prior to completing the required internship and dissertation.
Madam Chair, it could be framed as an exception However, a candidate may elect to take the part one of the examination at this point. That may be how we accomplish that in 2072.
Okay. I mean, I'm all for it. We kind of have, you know, other boards do that. And so, Dr. Flint is on here too. So, so I'm supportive, and I'm thinking we'll see the language when it comes back. So.
Exactly. And Madam Chair, I think what we probably want the language to reflect is that this is an election on the part of individuals applying for licensure. So I don't think we want to necessarily force someone to take the examination at that point, but they may elect to. Does the board agree with that?
Well, there's a third part to this. What about they don't have a degree posted? So it's not just prior to completing. The board may approve and who has obtained a doctoral degree in psychology. So that also needs to be addressed.
Mm-hmm. Right. They won't have a degree posted.
Yeah. It would be an applicant may not take an examination administered until we have to address the doctoral degree because they won't have that. So they will be applying without a degree in hand. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, not even a master's, you know, they have no degree except. So we probably have to indicate that there's something to do with the degree that needs to be addressed too.
Madam Chair, Dr. Malat, I know that at least one other profession, how this has been addressed is a rule was adopted that stipulates that a letter from the program, from the department, suffices to establish that the coursework has been completed. So that could be the impetus to approve that individual to sit for part one.
But how do we address the degree in the statute? That's the question. Because you're talking about the process and that, yes, we can work. That's definitely, we have training directors filling out lots of forms. So. We have to address the degree in there. So maybe under the exemptions, we add something and just put that, you know, students may elect prior to earning the doctoral degree to take the exam, prior to earning the doctoral degree, comma, internship and dissertation. May elect to.
Yes, Madam Chair, I'm following what you're suggesting, and I think that is quite possible.
Are we saying before earning the degree or before the degree is posted or before?
It's always posted. The degree posted is part of earning the degree. We don't accept anything that's not posted.
So this occurs before internship. We're saying you can take it before internship. So they won't have yet obtained a degree.
Yeah. And the training director is, for KCREP, for Masters of Counseling, they do take it before earning the degree. Heidi, I know you've been on other boards that has happened. But our statute just needs to indicate the degree portion, unless it's in contradiction, that's all. I mean, I'm supportive. It's just making sure that we don't have language that contradicts what we're trying to do.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I think Dr. Malat, you're raising some important points. So I think from my perspective, it's good that we're having this discussion on October 7th because, you know, to allow ourselves as much time and the drafters as much time as possible so that we can really take a very focused look at anything that's drafted for you to review before it's, to ensure the board is satisfied that we are accomplishing what we intend to accomplish and not creating unintended consequences in the process.
Well, and just to be clear, Dr. Malott, you're talking about 3220.72c.
Yes.
Where it says the board may approve an applicant who has obtained a doctoral degree in psychology as required.
Yes. And
there we just add, or is in good standing in a doctoral degree and has completed all required coursework.
Mm-hmm. So they would submit an application, pay the fee, and the other challenge that will come is the 180, whatever number of days. Basically, that would close their application out, and they would have to reapply because it'll take them sometimes 2 or 3 years to come back with, you know, with their internship hours and all of that, dissertation.
Yes, Madam Chair, I think Dr. Malott, you are you're thinking through, I think, what we will need to be clear about when we promulgate rules for this. So I think that's we'll have to pay very close attention to that language as well.
Okay.
Any other questions on that recommendation?
But is there consensus to continue working toward this?
Are we looking for head nods?
Okay.
And okay. Dr. Flint has been part of those discussions. Just want to thank her for her work on this as well. So,
indeed, indeed. So then moving on to 32-2073, temporary licenses. So at this time, when a person is granted a temporary license, there is no language that prescribes what title they are to use, what they are to be called, how, and in the process, how they're presenting themselves to the public. So this is a question that board staff, mostly Ms. Folks, fields with some frequency, you know, in terms of, okay, I thank you for the granting my temporary license. What am I to what should I put on my name tag? You know, how should I sign my notes? And so forth. So the committee is recommending that we add language that prescribes the use of title of associate. So I would assume something about, you know, psychological associate, psychology associate.
Could we use the word licensed associate psychologist? The counseling board uses licensed associate counselor, because associated psychologist is used. I know when I worked at the guidance center, we used that as a title to indicate, you know. But if we added the word license, that would make the difference because they are temporary license. So giving them credit for the license, but putting the word associate, that shows they're not full. I don't know. That's my suggestion. Rather than just psychologist associate. I know the prison, the Arizona State Hospital uses an associate title, if I'm not mistaken. So for non-licensed individuals.
Madam Chair, Dr. Meyer, I don't remember that we necessarily discussed the use of the term license, but I think it's an idea that I'd love board direction from this on this.
Go ahead, sorry.
I'm sorry. We do not have a license, an associate license, do we? We just have psychologist, and there's like in the behavioral health board, it has licensed associate counselor and then licensed professional counselor. But we don't have those designations. Are we I don't want to inadvertently create a whole level of licensure that we didn't need to do.
That's a lot.
Madam Chair, board members, if I may.
Ms. Folks, yes.
When the temporary license was first first put into legislation, my understanding is it was originally referred to as an associate license, and at some point it was changed. I was wondering if Jean has any memory of that.
I do not. I don't know if there's anyone on the call that may have.
I do not. I think it was changes made by people trying to refer to themselves more accurately. I don't think there was any board formal action on what.
I've just seen paperwork related to the temporary license being called an associate license in its early days.
And in reference to Dr. Stewart, this isn't a new license. It's just the title for temporary licensure.
And temporary is not a great word to use.
Yes, Madam Chair, members, I believe at this time we only have Dr. Stewart. Do you recall, did I tell you 22 in that category of temporary license holders? It's a relatively small number.
Madam Chairman, Dr. Olvey happens to be on this call. Perhaps she has some recollection. I'm going to call her out.
Oh, you see Dr. Olvey? I didn't see Dr. Olvey.
Did you phone a friend? Did you use a lifeline on this?
I texted her and said to be prepared. I'm calling on her.
Where is she?
It's a telephone number.
Oh, well, hello, Dr. Olvey. You are being sneaky. If you could unmute yourself. Maybe.
Do you want to mute by *6? Is that...
You know, I'm on I did a Google search, and we actually already have that title on some website, licensed associate psychologist. So,
oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, I'm just looking.
For Arizona?
Yeah. What is this board site? Let me see. Yeah, it says psychboard.az.gov resources/licensed associate psychologist.
Okay, I just sent a prompt to Dr. Olvey. I identified which number was hers. So.
And then psychology. And then it has the emergency temporary license directory, internship, pre-internship. Yeah, this is one of our sites, not some third-party site.
I believe she's unmuted.
Are you able to hear me?
We can. Hello, Dr. Olvey.
Madam.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, sorry. My headset was going out, and that was the problem. So I'm not sure if you heard any of what I said, but I was there when the temporary license was established, and it was not an associate license. It was always called a temporary license.
Do you know what the associate license was for?
I don't recall.
No, we don't have an associate license.
No.
Well, I know we don't now, but
we've never had one.
We've never had one.
So the website references are probably just an error then?
But could we refer to that as license, even though it's a temporary license?
Yes, so Madam Chair, I think we're looking for direction. First of all, do we think it's important that these, 22, 25 individuals, that they use a specific title? And if so, what shall that title be?
Is there a distinction between temporary and associate that's been defined elsewhere? I mean...
It's not defined. It's just a title of a document.
Okay.
It's under the resources page. Actually, that has many implications. Part of the reason for the temporary license and calling themselves licensed psychologists actually allows them to get postdoc experiences, allows them to bill, because now they have the license tied to their title. And by throwing in the word associate, we might be creating inadvertent problems for our licensees that are more likely to get employment because they are licensed. And that's why they seek licensure. So I think we need to leave this alone and tell people to maybe have a little disclaimer that, maybe not in every signature, but to let their clients know, like when you have supervisors, that would, you know, it's a small number that seek this, but we could be creating other problems. So I would leave this well alone. So.
I agree with that, Dr. Milan. Mm-hmm.
So the recommendation for what people should call themselves with this license would be what?
They're licensed psychologists. It's a short-term license, but they're licensed without having completed the postdoc is what is pending for these individuals. But they've met all the exam, they haven't, because they have the choice whether to, you know. So, but it's time limited, but they are licensed. And maybe we could have a rule that license holders under the temporary make every effort to inform their, you know, they, like they do with the supervisor when they're under supervision, you know. I don't know, so something.
I mean, they're not licensed psychologists, though, because they're...
Well, the temporary license, they are licensed.
They are.
But they can't practice independently. It's not an independent level license.
Correct.
And they still need supervision.
Maybe they could say licensed psychologist under supervision.
I have concerns about leaving it as just licensed psychologist. I mean, that because it is a license, but they're not, it's not equivalent to,
yeah, it's not
a licensed psychologist,
right?
So perhaps the guidance is just they need to refer to themselves as temporarily licensed psychologist. I mean, that was the issue, is just how do they refer to themselves? And I appreciate Dr. Milat's concern about unintended consequences with billing or positions, but...
Could we say postdoctoral licensed psychologist?
But they may not be.
Yeah.
I was going to add, I think when you use the word associate, it is... understood that they're still under supervision. It is so for the counselors. So they're not independently licensed. When they are licensed associate counselors, they still receive supervision.
Yeah, that is correct.
And having something similar for us, I think it would make sense because they do not know what to call themselves. I agree. Yeah. Right now, if I refer to them.
Dr. Medina?
I'm sorry?
Would it create billing issues?
I don't think so, because an LAC still cannot, there are very few places where they could still like bill independently. I'm thinking of health insurances, but the word associate, I'm sorry?
They can bill, is what you're saying?
No, there are very few places for example, a health insurance would allow them to bill just themselves. in it, that word associate conveys that they are still not independently licensed.
Madam Chair, board members, if I may, the one I'm most familiar with is California. They are already and have been for years using psychologist associate for psychologist under supervision in internship and postdoc programs.
Part of the impetus for the temporary license, and Dr. Olvi is here, from my recollection, is to allow individuals to bill. I mean, that was and to have that temporary license. And I could be wrong. I mean, but this would inadvertently take away that, you know.
I believe in the Medicaid system. I mean, they can't, maybe they can. LACs can, I believe, in the Medicaid system, not in the private health insurance realm.
Mm-hmm. Is Dr. Madam Olvi still Chair? With us?
Okay. Dr. Olvi.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am still with you. And if I could add a little bit of the history. They were never called associates equal because who cannot practice independently, they're still under supervision. And when the temporary license first passed in legislation, the board worked with Access through the board office to enable people who were temporary licensed to be able to bill, their agencies could bill Access for Medicaid coverage. But to my knowledge, while I was there, it was not necessarily allowed for private insurance, but Access did allow it after some conversation.
It is my understanding that LACs can bill. So I think it was something perhaps to mirror that. Because if not, you would have someone who's a postdoc, you know, or even be under postdoc hours, not being able to bill Medicaid, but you have someone at the LAC level able to bill Medicaid.
Isn't it not so much what they are called or what their title is, but rather that they hold a license? Even though they are under supervision, they still hold a license to practice. They can't do it independently. But if I recall, Dr. Olvi, I think that was sort of the crux when we met with Access.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. The fact that they were licensed and not necessarily whether it had the associate title or not, because they didn't have that title. It was just called temporary license.
What about a supervised associate psychologist?
That's a mouthful.
Yeah. I mean, the licensed associate does imply supervision, so I'm not sure if we need the word supervised. But I'm just worried about consequences, and I don't think we're ready to vote on this right now. I think this needs to come back. We should remove this item from the list.
I think we also need to look at
it sounds like
the VA. There might be potential issues there.
Okay. Madam Chair, there was a second part to this one as well. So that will also, I think, be held for future discussion. That was, you know, once we decided on a title, that there was title protection associated with it. So that, you know, someone who is unlicensed and, you know, working under the supervision of a psychologist, someone who doesn't have a temporary license, they could not call themselves whatever we decide that this title shall be. So that's also on hold. Just wanted to make sure that was clear.
Okay. Ms. Pekanon, as far as timeline goes, is this something that we can revisit at a future meeting?
and still be within kind of the good time frame of legislation.
Yeah, Madam Chair, we are fine. The last recommendation anyway is to revert some changes that we think that Legislative Council made last year that were for clarity or style purposes, and we think it may change the meaning of the statute. So that's something that can be hashed out too during the drafting process. So I think what we've done is we've achieved what we wanted to achieve, and the issue with the temporary license holders, we still have time to resolve it.
So this is not for a vote, right? This is just you're getting input from board.
So Madam Chair, Dr. Malott, I think that as long as we have the final decisions made relative to what you would want in a bill in early November, November 4th, your November meeting, that's perfectly fine. We, of course, need to wait until immediately after the election, we can start seeking a bill sponsor. So we've made this much progress, and I'm very happy with it.
I do have a question, Dr. Malott, as it pertains to in the past, and I could be misinterpreting it, but or not remembering it correctly, but in the past, we have done behavior analysts and psychologist legislation together to streamline processes and save some money. I know that this discussion was all around kind of the psychologist's legislative changes. Was there discussion around the behavior analyst? Do we need to revisit that? And what do we need to do? You know, we do have a list of items that we had already identified in the behavior analyst statute that needs revision. So what should that process look like?
So has there been do you have a legislative behavior analyst committee?
Well, our committee on behavior, our committee on behavior analysis or on behavior analysts should be able to, the list I'm talking about, we've already reviewed and said, hey, if there's ever, you know, a chance to, when we go into legislative session, let's make sure that these things are looked at. So yeah, we could review it again as a committee. I just want to make sure, because we talked about engaging stakeholders kind of January-ish, but that will push till the next legislative session. And on some of the things, I agree we need the time on the stakeholders, but some of the ones that we've already been revisiting over the last 2 years and have had conversations about is, you know, like the definition of practicum is no longer applicable. And so we have rules that don't align with, I mean, the rules align with the statute, but the rules don't align with the language of the certification. And so there's just some funky words in there, but the rules had to stay with that other language because the statute language is very prescribed. And then we also had in the sunset audit, we had a couple of rule or a couple of statutes that we were tasked with reviewing. And our report back to them, I believe, was that we would review them the next time that we were going to open legislation. So I just want to, so those ones have already been discussed. Those are the ones specific around the sunset audit had the concerns around the prescribing of the 1500 hours. And then, like I said, the definitions of the practicum, intensive practicum, and supervised field work have now changed. There's a couple of others that, you know, we wanted to talk about come January with our stakeholders, like how the definition of clients. So those ones, I think we're not going to have time to get to, but we've got these other ones that have been pending. The other one that I think about that's been pending is the exemptions to licensure. We've got in there that exemption to licensure for if you're employed by a common school and certified by the Department of Education. That language is coming from the what presumably is the psychologist statute for school psychologists, mm-hmm. but the Department of Education doesn't certify behavior analysts unless you're a behavior analyst and a teacher. So that could be applicable, but that particular statute has kind of been a little bit kind of mucky. that we've talked about the next time we open legislative session reviewing. So I don't mind if the decision is, hey, we don't have time to get to it and we stay on path for January to meet with stakeholders and hope for the next year. But a couple of those they've been low hanging fruit. So we've just been waiting until more legislative change was needed. So we weren't spending this money on this low hanging fruit.
But it's part of the same bill. So it might make, I don't know, Heidi, what are your thoughts of addressing the low hanging fruit, not everything?
Madam Chair, Dr. Malott, we can go forward with everything that the board would like to see implemented. I think, you know, you can recognize which of the items I think are most impactful. And then if we need more time to address others, that's perfectly fine.
Because it can come back to the board in the November meeting if maybe the Behavior Analyst Committee wants to meet and at least address a few things. Some of the statutes in the past, when we worked that closely together, Dr. Davis Wilson, we were doing parallel changes. This is very specific, you know, kind of like the ones you've mentioned are very specific, like your practicum definition. But when we were adding like the diversity, we were adding things like that. Oh, we're doing it here, we're doing it there. So it made sense to work on it parallel. Now we're getting into more specifics. So, but I think, based on what Ms. Pakkanen just said, you know, there's still time. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Then I would just ask Ms. Pakkanen that we, as soon as possible, there was a board member on the call, but I'm not seeing her now. But perhaps that we reach out to the association and let them know that this will be on an agenda item rather quickly so that they have the opportunity to, because that's the other thing is we have the statute that says we won't propose any legislative changes without the input of our stakeholders. So, and that's
it. It's time for that, isn't it?
I'm sorry.
So once this goes, so this is the first kind of reading, then the person will work on changes. Then it will go for 30 days of comments. So that is still open for this. So
I think that at least the way that I've understood the statute, there's a statute for committee for the Committee of Behavior Analysts that we have to engage our stakeholders before that. Okay. Kind of separate of the public commenting period.
Yes, Madam Chair, Dr. Miller, I think you're describing the public comment period that I think you're thinking of is associated with rulemaking. So, but that being said, I think there's opportunity to engage the stakeholders in time so that this conversation can be revisited on November 4th.
Perfect. So, if we could do that, and then I think from here we can probably table what we have, and then the November 4th meeting reconvene. We are actually going to be losing quorum in just a few minutes. So I wanted to double check real quick if there was anything else time sensitive. That we needed to push through. I'm still not seeing the individuals from ASPA, and I'm still not seeing Dr. Kelly. So perhaps just the update on the GERC information, and then, you know, we'll just table the rest of this for the.
I think we need to do number 20. Dr. Myers and I, right? We could do number 22.
Yeah, I don't think she needs to be here.
Yeah.
Madam Chair, we know that we won't have the subject for agenda item 14. She is not going to be able to attend in time before we lose quorum. We can roll that to the next agenda, and then 18 can be on the next agenda. I think item 20, we have just enough time probably to address.
Perfect.
Madam Chair and members of the board, this is Ms. Poe. I'm giving out the next CE code word. The next CE code word is ACORN. ACORN. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. We will move to agenda item number 20. Dr. Meyer, you are the lead on this. Would you please provide us a summary?
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Dr. Weigert applied for licensure. Unfortunately, her internship hours were spread out over 2 years, and so they did not meet our statute requirements that all 1,500 hours of internship be done within 24 months. We gave her several opportunities to submit additional training hours. There were multiple inconsistencies between those, and the final decision of the application review committee was to deny her application. She subsequently, I guess last night, sent by email that she would like to withdraw her application. So I would make a motion to approve the withdrawal of her application.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
And a second. Do we have any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries. On agenda item number 21, is there any future agenda items that anybody would like to add that have not already been discussed?
I was curious about 18.
I don't know if we have time. So we are set to lose quorum at 12:15.
Oh, okay. Okay. And it's 12:30. I didn't know if that was a quick 1 minute item. That's what I was wondering.
It was hoping to be, but after Tuesday's meeting, it was quite derailed. So it will be kind of a lengthy item.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right, hearing no future agenda items, we will move to agenda item number 22. Do we have a motion for adjournment?
Moved.
Do we have a second?
Second.
I know, I'm so rotten. Sorry, guys. For the record, we do have to have the voices because the audio is what comes on. So we have... I know. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion does carry. Thank you, Dr. Medina, for joining us. Welcome. Welcome. And Mr. Nguyen for hanging tight so that we could hold some quorum. So thank you guys both very much.
And Madam Chair, This is Ms. Poe. I just have a comment if there is anybody listening for CE credit. Unfortunately, since the meeting did not last 4 hours, even though I gave out code words, the meeting is not eligible for CE credit, but thank you for attending anyway.
So if you hang up for 15 minutes, would it be?
It's already adjourned.
Oh, done. I'm sorry to all the people that I hear.
Well, my students will still get credit because I did not put a time on there, so they will still be able to complete their assignment and get credit. And there's several ASU behavior analysis ethics students on,
and some right. my interns are in attendance as well.
So. Fantastic, thank you, Dr. Medina.
They'll get credit for that.
Good.
So tune in next time to see where these other agenda items, how they get resolved.
All right.
Hello. This is Ryan House. Sorry, I joined late. I don't know if I missed. If you guys passed RXP.
Yeah, Dr. House, we did have to table yours because we do not have a quorum to continue the meeting.
So is it six, okay, a quorum? We have six.
So Dr. Medina also needed to leave. So we had two leaving. Yeah. Mr. Diner got... had to change at the last minute as well. So we did have a quorum because had Mr. Dinar been able to stay, we would have been able to work through it. But he also had something come up he had to attend to. So.
Okay, well.
No problem. Any questions you just want to, you had initially just informational, or you want to kind of wait for it?
So what we can do, because the meeting's adjourned, is if anybody has questions, they can direct it to board staff, and board staff can coordinate with you with what the next steps will be. So we'll make sure that that gets coordinated.
Awesome. And then for my ignorance, if there's board members that have like individual questions, are they allowed to just individually, reach out to either Dr. Northup or I just for Q&A?
Nope. Unfortunately, they have to go through the board. Board staff has to coordinate that because it's an item on the agenda, they can't have outside conversations about any agenda item with any of the stakeholders. Okay. So, but they can do that. And then, like I said, you can continue to correspond with board staff and they'll provide you updates. So we didn't even get to that item. So there was no discussion that was had. So we will, we'll continue to be in touch.
Awesome. Okay. And then does it work when, as something like material presents, all we're doing is when something material happens on our side, we're sending you guys an email and update. We're just trying to keep you guys as up to date as we are. So that's kind of what we're doing.
You would just continue to send that to board staff.
Awesome. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care.
Thanks. Have a good afternoon.
You too. All right. The meeting's been adjourned. We'll see everybody next.